Diagnosing and treating diseases, including cancer, takes a lot of time and resources. As you know, early detection can be a key factor in preventing some types of cancer and diagnosing other types of disease. Researchers have found a way to use breath biopsy instead of more invasive procedures to identify biomarkers that allow us to diagnose certain conditions. Owlstone Medical has been at the forefront of breath biopsy using gas chromatography to analyze breath samples and identify specific biomarkers associated with certain conditions. On this episode of Science with a Twist, we're speaking to Billy Boyle, CEO of Owlstone Medical. Billy explains the development of breath biopsy technology and the role of chromatography and mass spectrometry in identifying these telltale biomarkers. This non-invasive form of biopsy is being used to detect early signs of some types of cancer, as well as inflammatory conditions and other types of diseases.
I was really interested in science and technology as a teenager. I was a massive geek and was pretty obsessed with electronics and computers. So I think, you know, I always saw that engineering was a path I wanted to go down. And actually, once I was studying at Cambridge, one of the things I realized was there's a very vibrant student entrepreneurship community. And I thought this was great because it allowed you to connect both cutting edge technology, but also being able to get it out into the world as well. So I think that was a real eye opener for me to see how you could get technology out there.
And working with gas chromatography, when did you make the connection between gas chromatography and the ability to use it for breath biopsy?
So it was an interesting route that we got to in breath biopsy, because when we first spun Alston out, we had developed a microchip spectrometer, so based on ion mobility. And what's nice about it is you can program what you want to detect just by changing the software. And when we started to look at breath biopsy and applications of breath biomarkers, one of the things that we realized is a lot of what had been published in the literature for potential biomarkers actually hadn't been replicated particularly well. So we decided actually what the problem you need to solve today, if you want to make breath a reality and diagnostics and things like lung cancer and liver disease, is you need to discover and validate the biomarkers. So for us, it became clear that you needed to build up, you know, a world-class GC mass spec capability and lab in order to solve that core biomarker discovery problem.
So if you could, for our listeners, give me an example of the type of condition that you might be able to detect using a breath biopsy.
So breath biopsy has quite a broad range of potential applications. We tend to be most focused at Owlstone on trying to detect early stages of lung cancer. Also in liver diseases such as NAFLD and NISH, both diagnosis but also disease progression. And in respiratory disease, we're very interested in precision medicine applications there, where you can steer patients to the right type of therapy and things such as asthma and COPD. So that's our focus. But what we also do with the technology is make it broadly available to the academic and the pharma research community so they can explore breath biopsy in their own applications of interest.
Looking at lung cancer as an example, what is it that you're able to detect in the biopsy that would lead you to conclude that the patient may have a form of lung cancer?
So when we think about cancer and breath biomarkers in cancer, there's really two separate things we're looking at. So the first is endogenous VOC. So we know there's chemicals on the breath, and some of these are volatile endogenous metabolites. And what we also know about cancer is that it has an altered metabolism, even at an early stage. So we're trying to tease out those quite small changes in those endogenous metabolites associated with the cancer. But the second thing you can also do is look at introducing probe-type compounds. So what we call exogenous VOC probes that will target the tumor, so a characteristic of the tumor, and release a unique volatile reporter that comes out on breath if the tumor is present. So we're really trying to fuse together these two things to give you high clinical sensitivity and specificity.
And is there an example of a gastrointestinal disease that you might be able to detect as well?
Yeah, so when we think about different disease applications, there needs obviously to be a clinical need for a test, but there also needs to be a very plausible biological mechanism for why a VOC would be produced. And it kind of makes sense in things like respiratory disease and lung cancer. But if you think about digestive disease, so things like carbohydrate malabsorption and small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, as substrates or foodstuffs go into the body and they see the microbes in the gut, that leads to the production of gas. It goes from the gut to the blood and then ultimately out into the airways. So there's very well validated biomarkers, things like hydrogen and methane, which are detected on the breath, do indicate things like carbohydrate malabsorption and SIBO.
And how widely adopted is breath biopsy at this point?
So when you look at breath as a sample matrix, it will be good for some diseases, but not for everything. So we say it's not going to completely replace blood or urine-based analysis, but it will augment and allow you to do things that you currently can't do. And when you look at deployed tests, it's actually pretty few and far between. So things like H. pylori tests, exhaled nitric oxide, and then some of these digestive health type applications are really the only examples where the biomarkers have been discovered and validated. So that's why it's very important for us in our discovery workflows to cast the net a little bit wider to say, okay, well, what are the other VOCs that you can find and validate that relate to other types of diseases such as lung cancer and liver disease? So I think it's pretty early innings. But I think we're very well positioned to be the company that will find these biomarkers if they exist.
And given that some types of biopsy are invasive, right? Some types of diagnostic tests like an endoscopy can be invasive. This sounds like a less invasive way of determining whether someone has, you know, indication of disease. So talk to me about how the test is actually conducted.
Yeah, so non-invasiveness is a huge advantage of breath biopsy. So if you look at early cancer detection screening, a lot of the time there isn't a test, but for those examples where tests do exist, such as colon cancer screening, often the test is either, you know, unpleasant or invasive. And actually that means people don't show up for the test. So a lot of the problem of late diagnosis is people just don't like the test. So breath solves a massive problem in that regard. And what we think we can do is collect a sample in a home-based setting, so you don't necessarily need to go even into a doctor's office for the sample collection. Collect that sample in the home, send it to the lab for analysis. So that obviously reduces two big barriers, the pain and the where you need to go barrier. When you look at something like lung cancer screening as well, patients have to go at the moment for a CT scan. And actually the uptake for that is very, very low. So we think if we can find and validate the biomarkers, then actually it will be a real game changer in terms of uptake and acceptability for the patients.
So it sounds as though there's a role in preventative medicine. Talk a little bit about how you are entering into the personalized or precision medicine space.
Yeah, so the broad applications we think really need to be solved are basically early detection and precision medicine. So sitting under early detection, we have lung cancer and liver disease. And under precision medicine, I think we've already seen the power of techniques such as liquid biopsy in precision oncology, for instance. So patients that have late stage disease, how you can select the right therapies for them. If you look at respiratory disease, so things like asthma, COPD, IPF, etc., often, particularly for asthma and COPD, the therapeutics are prescribed on a trial and error basis. So in an ideal world, you would know the inflammatory subtype of the patient and better steer them towards the right medication in the first instance. So that's an area where the existing tests aren't very good. So things like exhaled nitric oxide isn't very selective. Whereas VOCs and breath biopsy, there's a very strong biological rationale, and it would solve that clinical problem of getting the patient onto the right therapy.
How do you get a good sample?
So getting a good sample is very challenging, because if you think about breath, you have the volatiles on it, but you also need to be really careful about things like environmental contamination, because there's volatile organics in the air all around you. So we have a solution that reduces the amount of environmental contamination. So that's both in terms of the air that you breathe in, but also the potential ingress that might get into the sample. And then what we have is a device called Receiva. And Receiva, a patient just breathes normally, so normal tidal breathing. And we watch the breath profile. So at the end portion of the breath, you activate very fast pumps that switch on and draw the volatiles from the breath down into sorbent material. So the sorbent material will strongly bind the volatile compounds, and that stabilizes it. But actually a massive advantage of breath is that you can enrich your sample over time. So with each breath, I effectively am pre-concentrating my sample, so that way I get a massive boost to sensitivity. And once it's on that sorbent cartridge, it's very stable, so you can send it to the lab for analysis. So we deal with all of those problems of reducing background, pre-concentrating your sample, but making sure you collect a very broad range of VOCs, which is what you need to do for discovery workflows.
I imagine that you've got some very exciting projects ongoing with various customers. Is there an example of a, you know, say a pharma customer that you're working with that you can describe what you're doing with them? And then maybe we can talk about a hospital or a healthcare facility as the other example.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I said, we sell research products to academic, clinical and pharma customers. And since we started doing that, we've actually got well over 100 sites using our collection devices, and there's been over 100 papers published using the technology as well. So this includes the likes of the Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, J&J, AstraZeneca, GSK, to, you know, smaller research groups who are doing really quite interesting and exotic research on VOCs related to, you know, human performance, for instance. So it's very varied. I would say by and large on the pharma side of things, they tend to be most interested in precision medicine and respiratory disease, and also the early lung cancer detection problem. I think there's more of a rising tide of interest with pharma around trying to help address and look at the early detection problem. So it's quite exciting because, you know, we're at this interesting cusp where the technology platform now exists. So you can say, well, what where can it be applied? So I think a lot of very interesting research will be done over the next few years to help show the utility of VOCs in breath.
So in the beginning of our conversation, when you talked about the fact that you were interested in science at an early age, one of the focus areas for Thermo Fisher is in what we call STEM education, which is intended to involve students in science education at an early age. Are you doing anything now to encourage others to look at science as a potential career path or a path of education?
So I've got three kids. So I my two eldest are 11 years old. So I try to show them how interesting science and engineering is without putting them off. But I do really think that, you know, we all of us do need to help, you know, the next generation of scientists and engineers. So in our field, it's a very specialist field. So we've done things in the past like sponsored PhD students. We have interns that come in every year to the business as well. And I think that's, it's exciting because it not only exposes them to maybe the domain that they've been working in, but actually shows that, you know, for very disruptive innovations and new technologies, actually it's different domains working together and different disciplines that work together is where the magic happens, you know. So we have an amazing team of engineers that are thinking about how you collect a sample, but then you have amazing analytical chemists and data scientists and metabolomic scientists as well. So I think, you know, trying to get those young people in so they can see how science and engineering works in practice is something that we think is very important.
Great. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would want me to include in the podcast?
I think the main thing is just the overall, when we founded the company. The company mission is to save 100,000 lives by developing breath biopsy for early detection and precision medicine. So I think that's a kind of, you know, really quite ambitious mission, but I think is a real driving force for me and all the other scientists and engineers within the business as well, because, you know, while we have an amazing piece of technology, you only have patient impact when you have the test out in the marketplace as well. So it's just that kind of emphasis on the patient and ultimately, you know, trying to help pick up disease sooner when it can be treated and help get patients onto the right medications first time is, you know, the real kind of focus for us. And again, we're delighted to be, you know, working so successfully with Thermo because the GCRB is a, you know, real key enabler for us in that mission, and also the team from Thermo as well. Like, we have a fantastic relationship with the whole team at Thermo, so we kind of see it as, you know, when we all work collectively together, that's how we solve these really big problems in society.
We've been speaking with Billy Boyle, CEO of Owlstone Medical. For more information on the company and the status of its projects, please visit www.owlstonemedical.com. And remember to subscribe to Science with a Twist wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Until next time.